It's Friday, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am with my wonderful co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger.
Good morning.
Good Friday.
Good Friday.
How the heck are you?
Absolutely wonderful.
Good, good. Well, we have a very cool show today.
Yes, we do.
But let's pray first, and then we'll get started.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, and we return it back to you, asking that you continue to bless us all this day. Bless our listeners. Bless their day. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, we had a very cool experience this past week.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So cool. My daughter is in graduate school at Ohio Dominican. She's getting her master's in theology. Sidetrack for a moment to brag about her. So she works really hard because she doesn't want to take out any loans for school.
Uh-huh.
She wants to pay for it up front. Kind of atypical millennial behavior. Am I right about that?
Yeah. But, you know, and, you know, especially since the federal government will someday cancel all those debts, you know?
Well, maybe she's not as smart as I thought she was. Okay, so anyway, she works at Children's Hospital. She works with kids on the autism spectrum. She works really hard. She volunteers at church, but she is determined not to have debt for school. So she paid her tuition for this semester, plugging right along, digging into Augustine, loving it. And she gets this email. By now, you should have all received notification of your gift from the Catholic Foundation. Well, she didn't receive the email, so this is the first she heard of it. What a wonderful... It was from the head of the director of her program. What a wonderful surprise to come back to. It is not a joke or scam. There are truly gracious individuals out there that are rooting for you. This scholarship comes from an endowment created for MA theology students. I do not know much else. I have been asked who to thank for this generous gift. And all I have been told is the Catholic Foundation.
Whoa.
And last week, she gets a check for reimbursement, full reimbursement for her tuition for this semester.
Wow.
Yeah. Which she promptly put in the bank for next semester.
Yeah.
And I just felt so overjoyed, not only for her, because what a gift, but also, you know this, Father Adam, this is the tip of the iceberg of the generosity of our Catholic community.
Yeah.
This happens all day, every day, people who just rooted in Jesus Christ, rooted in the gospel, want to share that love and just are randomly doing so in these super generous ways. It just made me yet again so grateful and so happy to be part of the Catholic community.
And, you know, a plug to the Catholic Foundation. I mean, they orchestrate so much wonderful giving and great works.
Yes.
You know, they've always been sort of a great service to innovation and evangelization in the diocese. And
it's just all working together, right? And it's so cool to be part, to have a little tiny part of that evangelization, that joy of the gospel and splendor of truth, and just the things that are going on in our diocese. I just love it. And I told you, someday I'm going to tell the bishop. So the Ohio State University has a whole team of people in charge of fan experience. Right. Like marketing and branding. And I want to be a Buckeye. I want to be a part of Buckeye Nation. That's their whole job and mission is to get people psyched about being Buckeyes. And so I know a young woman on that team and I told her, you need to march right down in the bishop's office and say, I want to be director of fan experience for the Diocese of Columbus. Right. And just get people, because as joyful as it all is, there's a tinge of sadness for me that there are some people, Columbus Catholics, who don't know how awesome it is to be part of this community, who are not plugged in, who are not like reaping the benefits of that whole communal spirit, all that joy. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I don't think this has been announced, so this is sort of a new
I love when we announce things on air.
You know, with the bishop's direction and blessing, we're forming a committee on the new evangelization in the Diocese of Columbus to kind of help to develop a strategic vision and plan for evangelizing in the diocese, especially at universities and parishes and in our schools.
Oh, my gosh. You need to get this young woman on that team.
Well, the board's already been formed. Oh! So, you know, there's like 20 members. It's already a huge think tank. So
if you need someone to help with branding and marketing, let me know.
But
I think
this idea, all these sort of concepts and ideas we're going to be working on and, you know, kind of thinking through and not just, you know, planning and dreaming, but also kind of applying money and budgeting to it as well to see what the how the heck we're going to do this.
So. Yeah, it's fan experience. Like we're fans of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
coming together as the body of Christ to be fans and help other draw other people in. So very exciting. Well, one of the new evangelization services we provide here on the Friday Morning Show. It's traffic and weather.
Traffic and weather, yes.
So let's do it.
Well, you know, today's traffic and weather is brought to you by St. Eulalia of Merida.
Come on.
Patroness for snow days. I'm still invoking all of these saints for some sort of snow day.
Wait, what does snow day mean for you? Do you actually get a snow day?
Having taught high school, teachers look forward to snow days more than students do. So,
But do you get a snow day? Or are you just invoking for other people?
Yeah, you know, I love to just look out the window and be like, you know what? I'm not doing anything today. So, you know, it just gives me a reason.
I don't think you have that luxury anymore. I don't think. That's why you have that big old truck.
Saint Eulalia was from Spain. Her feast day is December 10th. She was martyred in a very vicious way with hooks and burned at the stake. And as her body laid on the ground, a miraculous snow fell covering it. So. That's why she's the patron saint of snow days. So it's currently 31 degrees. We're going to probably have a high of 40 degrees today. There's a chance of mixed precipitation, hopefully more on the snow side than on the rain side.
But mixed precipitation, that can mean anything.
Yeah. Could be anything.
Yes.
Currently, our traffic conditions, there's some issues on incidents, we might say. on 670 eastbound around Goodale exit. So be careful out there. As always, remember to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
All right. And today is Friday, January 31st. It's the last day of January.
It is.
I never wish time away except in January.
Yeah, you know, January is really a rough month.
It's long.
I was always told by my spiritual directors, universally, I think I've had like four or five in my life, they always said the same thing. I always say the same thing. Never make any big decisions in January.
Oh, that's very good advice.
People don't think right in January, you know? But anyway, January 31st, today in 314, Pope Sylvester was consecrated as Pope Saint Sylvester, whose feast day is December 31st. In 1597, Saint Francis Regis was born, and this is the next one is very important for me. In 1673, Saint Louis de Montfort was born today.
Very important for many people growing in devotion, right?
Yes. And then in 1915 today, Thomas Merton was born. So,
all right. There you have it. January 31st, this day in Catholic history. Also, Dave Orsborne, our engineer, just reminded me that we do pick up an extra day in February this year.
That's right.
So, normally, February is a nice short month. We make it through. But every once in a while, we have an extra day to suffer well. Right?
Okay.
You are listening to the Friday Morning Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And today, we have, every once in a while, our priest of the week and our special guest are one in the same.
Yeah.
And today is one of those days.
It's only when they're exceptional, most exceptional, that we have them do both.
That's true. Yeah, it's a very high standard, and we vet them carefully, and then we invite, and unknowingly they accept.
Yes.
So, welcome, Father Stephen Bissot.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Father Brousseau, you are the rector at the Josephinum.
I am. Officially the president rector of the Pontifical College Josephinum.
Oh, my goodness. Is that all on a business card?
On two. It's two business cards, yeah.
Front and back.
Yeah. And I ask people that their heads bow when they say my name.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We are not off to a good start. Okay. We'll start right now. No. Now, we did chat about this because I want to make sure you were okay with this, but it is customary on the Friday morning show that we play a game with our priest of the week.
All right.
And in order to inspire greater competition, Father Lou Iacello had six correct answers. So that's who you're up against.
Six of six?
No. We don't do percentage-wise.
Okay. No. He had six. So it's just a straight up.
I'm going to name a category, and then you name three things in that category. Father Adam is the judge. He will buzz you.
Okay.
If he doesn't feel your answer,
we're going to play this until I get seven.
Yeah. So well, you only have a minute.
Well, you have a minute.
Okay, let's
but
go.
I have been known to forget to pay attention to the time. Now I won't do that because I don't have any grudge against Father Lou. So for example, I would say types of lettuce, and you would say bib,
iceberg,
romaine, whatever. Yeah. Okay. But when you leave here, you'll be like, oh my gosh, I can name seven types of lettuce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's high pressure, but okay. So are you ready?
Go.
Nocturnal animals.
Possums, skunks.
Let's say rats. We did this one last week. I just remembered.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Okay.
We'll
give it to you. Operas.
Names or types? Oh.
Names.
Madame Butterfly, La Bohème. I'm good with two. I'm not getting more.
We'll give you Turandot as well.
Oh.
Okay. Breakfast cereals.
Trix, Rice Krispies, and Corn Flakes.
Synonyms for the word disgusting.
Gross, brutal, awful.
Things with stripes.
Zebras, candy canes, and barbershop poles.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Root vegetables.
Potato?
Yes.
Carrots?
Yes.
Radishes.
Beautiful. Words that begin with the letter X.
Xylophone, xenophobe, x-ray.
Oh, my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yay!
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Bragging right.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
And he beat Father Dan Dury, too, which
is that's actually
everyone's favorite punching bag.
I'm getting a text. Father Lou wants to come back on the show.
Uh-oh.
We could have a face-off. That would be intense.
Well, you know, that sounds like, for the spirit drive,
that's
that
right.
Sounds like a sounds like a challenge or an opportunity.
An opportunity. That's what we like to call it.
Well, Father, we're so glad to have you here today. As you said, you're the rector of the Josephinum, but you're pretty new in that position.
Yeah, I was appointed in March, and I came here July, and then I was installed in October. So it's only been about 7 months that I've been in the job.
And where are you from originally?
Originally from Kansas. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, and as the bumper sticker says in my office, Kansan by birth, Jayhawk by the grace of God. So I did go to the University of Kansas for my undergrad, and then I was there 10 years as a chaplain as well.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, yeah. You were involved with Focus there in that role.
Yeah, so. I brought on Focus. I was there about 3 years. I was there 10 years total, and about 3 years in, I brought on Focus.
The Fellowship of University Catholic University students, for those that, Well, as you know, they're coming to Ohio State this year. This is our great joy and announcement. So, where were you at right before you came to the Josephinum?
Yeah, so right before I came here, I spent 3 years down in Cincinnati. I was teaching moral theology and on the formation team at the Athenaeum, working with seminarians there.
Excellent. That's a seminary in
Cincinnati.
Yeah, somewhere
in Cincinnati.
Now, our listeners, I mean, everyone has probably heard of the Josephinum, but what actually is the Josephinum?
Well, it's a unique place in some ways because, first of all, it's the only pontifical seminary outside of Italy. And it's a special designation given by the Pope. Now, that means nothing except we're a pontifical seminary. We don't get any funding from the Vatican. We're not getting checks from Pope Francis every month. There's nothing like that.
In fact, he's not coming to check in on you.
It usually goes the other way.
Yeah.
Well, it always goes the other way. No, actually, the Apostolic Nuncio is our chancellor. And, you know, he represents the Pope to the U.S. And so, in a sense, he does check up on us. And I frequently write him letters and phone him and... every once in a while, he comes for a visit.
He did my installation. Oh, for your installation. That's right.
Yeah, I really wanted him to be here. We met in last March for the first time, and he's a fantastic man, just a really generous priest, a great and attentive bishop to the U.S. He's a real joy to be around. And so the Josephinum, it started originally as an orphanage for poor German boys. And then a few of them came to the founder of the orphanage, Father Jessing, and said, we'd like to be priests. So he started a seminary. And then in 1888, he had his first men. And almost immediately, he asked for this pontifical status. He wanted to keep the Josephinum in a special place and keep it going. And he knew that would help. So he established the seminary in 1888, primarily a German seminary. In fact, they spoke and they taught in German well into the 50s and I think even the early 60s. They had a high school, a college, and a theology. After a while, you know, there wasn't a need anymore to have German-speaking priests. So they expanded the vision to really open it up to the entire country. So the Josephinum reaches dioceses all across the nation. We also always have a few scholarships that we offer to seminarians from other countries. So right now we have a priest and we have three seminarians. Three are from Africa, and the priest is from Burma, but now we call that
Myanmar.
Yeah. So Father John Yang is there with us. So, yeah.
Ah, excellent. Great. You are a priest. You told us of Kansas City, the Archdiocese of Kansas City. What is your vocation story, Father?
Oh my gosh, I don't like telling my vocation story.
Shoot.
It's for this reason. I'm not the brightest guy spiritually. God usually has to do something very big to get my attention, and that's what happened. But briefly, I was in law school. When I graduated from KU, worked at a law firm. I was in law school my first year. Loved it. There about 6 weeks. Part of a group that was there 8 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night when they threw us out of the library. Just totally immersed in it. Wanted to give my life completely to this. Well, I was there one day in the morning, and a friend of mine, we were talking, and she said, well, Steve, have you ever thought about being a priest? And I thought, no, thanks very much. And then later that day, I was at lunch, and I was there sitting with another friend of mine. In fact, I was going to ask her on a date for that weekend. And just as I'm about ready to ask her to go on a date, she says, Steve, I just got to ask you, have you ever thought about being a priest? Like, well, of course, I didn't ask her for a date at that point. It was not going to go well. I said, okay, two people, whatever. Well, later that afternoon, you know, probably 4 or 5 o'clock, we're in the law library talking to another friend of mine, and he said, I don't know, I just got to ask you this. Have you ever thought about being a priest? And I thought, no, I have not thought about being a priest. That's ridiculous. And then I tried to go back to studying. I realized nothing's going to get done. I'm going to put this priesthood thing out of my mind. I thought I had blown a gasket, you know, like too much studying. So for the first time in 6 weeks, I went home early. Fixed a sandwich, sat on the floor. My roommate, he had that one of those old TVs that young people don't know about. It takes like 10 minutes to warm up. So I turn on the TV. I'm just sitting there. And as the TV comes on, these bells are ringing. And it's the movie, The Shoes of the Fisherman. And I remember I fell back on the floor. I was looking up the ceiling. And I said, God, I don't know why you're asking me this. I know the answer is no, but I'll at least think about being a priest. Well, that was in September. For about the next 6 months, I talked to a few people. I was praying more about it. And then I realized, no, I did have this call before, and it was a real come up. But ultimately, it came down to a very simple decision, or based on a couple of facts. God made me. He wants me to be happy, in his sense, and I'd be happiest doing what he wants me to do. Now, I never felt any pressure. There was a freedom to go do something else. That was not in my plans. But I said, well, look, I'll do it. So from that point on, I never really had any kind of doubts about my vocation. I'm not saying I didn't have struggles or questions, but from that point on, I don't think I ever doubted that this is what the Lord wanted me to be. So I don't like telling that story because I don't want people thinking that's what I should expect when it comes time me to discern.
But the flip side of that is that's such a good reminder for the rest of us. If we recognize in someone a call, a potential, a spark, just ask the question, discerning a vocation, your vocation?
The importance of that. And also I think, and it is always good for us to hear vocation stories and conversion stories to kind of put a human face on it. Mm-hmm. And I think there is always the understanding that everyone's story is unique.
Yes.
But there are these kind of common elements of these encounters. So, well, thank you, Father. You're going to be with us in the second half of the show, too. So we look forward to some more stimulating conversations.
Yes, we have many more questions to ask you. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are talking to Father Stephen Bisseau, the rector at the Josephinum. Don't go away.
Sometimes Christians discern themselves into paralysis. Does God want me to be a priest or get married? Play piano or violin? Date this person or that person? Pepperoni pizza or sausage? St. Augustine saw things more simply. He said, love God and then do what you want. Why? Because if we love God, our hearts will naturally want what He wants for us. God reveals His will through our own heart's longings, our gifts and talents, the input of others who we trust, and the ordinary events of our everyday lives. And while He can break through and speak to us in miraculous ways, even St. Teresa of Avila, who had visions, said to never go into prayer without spiritual reading. Never presume God's going to act outside the ordinary. I know a priest who wasn't sure if he should become a Benedictine or Franciscan. He didn't ask for signs. He took out a ruler and measured which was closest to his house on the map. He's been a happy Franciscan for decades. Keep things simple. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me.
I might have gone to church, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
No, I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with.
You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home, but if you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
You're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
And we're back. You are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are here on Friday, January 31st. We are in the studio with Father Stephen Bisseau, the rector at the Josephinum. We bow our heads when we say his name at his request.
Yeah. That is a joke.
It is a joke. Yes, he's very personable, approachable guy. So, Father Adam, how's it looking out there?
Traffic and weather today is brought to you by St. Eulalia. It's currently 31 degrees. We are expecting a high of 40 degrees with a chance of mixed precipitation starting around noon. 670 and 70 eastbound, there are several incidences out there, so be careful. Be careful. Remember to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
I think some people pronounce it St. Eulalia.
St. Eulalia?
St. Eulalia? St. Eulalia.
Well, since I've never heard the name pronounced before...
You know why I know that?
Why?
Because in The Music Man, there's a character called Eulalie McKechnie Shin.
Well, then we'll go with, I defer to you.
Oh, well, I don't think you should ever, ever do that.
Well,
ever.
Rarely would okay. I, but since I've never watched The Music Man.
What? Oh, my goodness. Can you name three operas?
Don Juan, La Boheme, and... How about The Ring Cycle by Wagner?
Oh. My yeah.
Valkyrie.
Goodness.
Valkyrie.
That's a dark image. On a Friday
wow.
morning.
Yeah, Streitenberger,
Father
you know.
Adam.
Shout out to Wagner.
Hey, let's move from Wagner to the catechism.
Yes. well, our catechism minute today is taking paragraph 529. As you know, this Sunday, we are celebrating the presentation of the Lord in the temple. So I thought it would be nice to hear what the Catechism has to say about that great feast and mystery of Christ's life. The presentation of Jesus in the temple shows him to be the firstborn son who belongs to the Lord. With Simeon and Anna, all Israel awaits its encounter with the Savior, the name given to the event in the Byzantine tradition. Jesus is recognized as the long-expected Messiah, the light to the nations and the glory of Israel, but also a sign that is spoken against the sword of sorrow predicted for Mary, announces Christ's perfect and unique oblation on the cross that will impart the salvation God has prepared in the presence of all peoples. So, you know, this great feast that we're preparing for, it is kind of a continuation of the Christmas celebration in the sense that Christ is this light. You know, we're extending, in a sense, the mysteries of the incarnation with the celebration of the presentation. But like all of the mysteries, the events of Christ's life, it points to the cross as well. So,
all right. And St. John Bosco today.
Yes. Great St. John Bosco, born in 1815. He died in 1888, the same year the Josephina was founded. Yeah.
Did you ever go to the Salesian Center downtown when it was open? Probably
no,
not.
I did not.
Oh, that was a cool place.
Well, you know, there, the Josephina used to have many Salesians there. Yeah. They would send, I think, some of their seminarians there at the time. When I was there... First went in college in 1999, Father Bob Bauer was on faculty, who was a Salesian.
Hmm. Wait, did I let you say that St. John Bosco founded the Salesians?
He did found the Salesians.
Yeah, because suddenly we just jumped into,
St. John Bosco, one of his great quotes is, "Give me only souls and keep all the rest."
Hmm.
Great zeal for youth, for the sort of the apostle of the youth is what he's entitled. And I think that's what the Salesian Center downtown was founded for as a youth center, wasn't it?
Yeah. 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 It was a really great place and they had all kinds of fun activities and a bowling alley and a pool and just hordes of kids coming every day after school and in the summer. And
And he worked with Wayward Sons. So it is sort of this coincidence, you know, this sort of with Jessing at the Josephina and everything, connection. The other thing I really love about John Bosco is that vision he has. He had this vision or dream where the church is a boat, a ship, where the Pope is, you know, is sort of the navigator of it on the front deck, the captain of it. And the ship is in this horrible storm, but it's stabilized because it's chained to two columns. And on one column is the Eucharist, and on the other column is Our Lady. And the idea that the church in... And it's almost a prophetic image that he has, you know, that going into the 1900s and even into this millennium, The church is rocked by all these storms. And as long as she is stabilized by the Eucharist and the church, all is, or the Eucharist and Our Lady, all is fine.
And isn't that what so many, you know, when we start to feel disillusioned or frustrated or the news looks bad or that, you know, it's just when we're heart is hurt by things that are mm-hmm. going on in our church, always to go back to the Eucharist and to go back to the vision of Mary just holding yeah. it all together. It's just such comfort. Where else do we go?
I know this may be TMI, but you know, who cares?
That's what we're all about. Go for it.
I remember in the really darkest hours of the abuse crisis issue, when I was kind of disenfranchised with the church in many, many different ways and all of its different levels, I always would meditate on the Annunciation, you know, that as long as Our Lady is still a part of the church, all is fine mm-hmm. and all is holy. You know, the church is holy and the church is, you know, faithful and the church is obedient. Mm. So, you know, even if everyone else was a bunch of losers, at least Our Lady is still there, you know?
And you know what? That's not TMI. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's uplifting and helpful, you know? Anything we can share about why do we stay connected? What is the draw? What is, you know?
And so
that vision of St. John Bosco is so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Salesians are the largest religious order now.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
They took the Jesuits a few years ago.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you say that with glee? I feel like you say that with a little bit of glee.
No, I'm reasonably detached from these things.
Except for the Franciscans.
Yeah, well, if all the Franciscans were in the same order, they'd be the largest, but you know.
All right, what is our gospel reading today,
well,
Father Adam?
Well, I opted to go with the gospel for the Feast of St. John Bosco. So readers may not know this, but there is the normal cycle of daily readings, and then also there is the cycle of the saints. So sometimes a priest, you know, might opt to go with the readings from the Feast of the Saint rather than the normal cycle. So in today's gospel, Matthew chapter 18, at that time the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me." Of course, I think we can see why this is the reading for the Feast of John Bosco, his love for youth. And I think anyone engaged in that apostolate, but anyone who, you know, sees youth, you know, that model of childhood and that receptivity to the Lord's love and the Lord's gifts, you know, that's the heart of discipleship.
So. I love this reading. I love to think about the child who Jesus calls over, and the child probably just ran without mm-hmm. hesitation. You know, unlike an adult who might be like, "Uh-oh, why is he calling me? What do I do?" And the child was just like, "I'm coming, Lord." Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, in so many churches, you know, and in almost every church that I go to that has some really nice stained glass windows, this image is always mm. there.
Yeah.
And I wondered once, like, why, you know, like, why is this it's not like it's a mystery of the rosary or something like most of the stained glass windows are. But one, you know, of course, every parish should have children, you know, and so there is that sense. But also, I think it just points to this is the fundamental way of living as a disciple, is this sort of childlike receptivity and, you know, an embrace of the Father. So.
Right. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk again with Father Stephen Bisseau, the rector of the Josephinum. You are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. Don't go away.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
The Knights of Columbus Council at St. Mark Catholic Church, 324 Gay Street in Lancaster, will be holding a 9 First Fridays devotion and salmon dinner. begins on February 7th. It starts at 4:30 p.m. with benediction and exposition. There will be confessions, Mass, Stations of the Cross, and then a dinner at the end. For more information, call 740-653-1229. The annual World Marriage Day Dance will take place on February 8th at 6:40 p.m. at the American Legion Post 171 in Westerville, Ohio. It's presented by Central Ohio Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Tickets are $74 per couple, advance ticket sales only. For more information, call 614-761-9048. The Alpha Program is coming to the Church of the Ascension on Mondays, beginning January 20th at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit the website alphaatascension.weebly.com. For St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, I'm Chip Stalter.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Isn't all truth just relative? I mean, you have your truth, I have mine.
Whoa, dude, what are you doing?
I'm gonna jump off this bridge, man.
You'll die.
No, I won't.
What, don't you believe in gravity?
That old superstitious nonsense? No way. Whee!
There are some things in life that aren't a matter of opinion. And just as in the physical world there are some things that are above debate, like gravity, there are things in the spiritual world that are just as true. And because human beings are physical and spiritual beings, every action that we take has physical and spiritual consequences. That's why things like the Holocaust weren't just dirty and disgusting, but because of the spiritual reality of God's creation, they were actually evil, regardless of what the Nazis thought. So we can't just dismiss the teachings of God's church as fine for some people, but not for me. That's just not the way that reality works. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I am Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. In physical training, two key tenets for success are consistency and moderation. Consistency is showing up regularly. This is necessary to learn, to progress, and to see results. Consistency is also an essential element in developing a strong and fruitful prayer life. St. Teresa of Avila said, "How often have I failed in my duty to God because I was not leaning on the strong pillar of prayer?" The second tenet is moderation. Practicing moderation in our temporal activities, such as exercising, eating, drinking, shopping, and socializing, helps free us from potential attachments and opens our hearts to doing God's work. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to consistency and moderation in every area of our lives while leaning on the strong pillar of prayer.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are here today with our very special guest, Father Stephen Bisseau, rector at the Josephinum. Father Adam, tell us our theme today and why we are talking to Father Bisseau.
Okay, so it's somewhat of a complicated theme, so it's going to take me a little while to connect everything. But
everyone is shocked, Adam.
Somehow we'll... So we celebrate the presentation of the Lord. Now, on the Feast of the Presentation, we often celebrate consecrated life, religious life, because our Lord is dedicated and consecrated. Also, it was the purification of Our Lady, too, in the old calendar. But this idea of consecrating and dedicating, but also in the sense of Christ entering the temple, being brought to the temple, I thought it might be nice to think about the priesthood as well. And so we have Father Steve Bisseau with us today to talk about the priesthood and most especially vocations and what's going on at the Josephinum. So, Father, welcome and thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great to be here.
As we said in the first half, you know, the Josephinum really is our local seminary. I mean, even though it is... pontifical and international in that sense, there is a special relationship which Columbus has with the Josephinum.
Absolutely, yeah. So I like to say about the Josephinum, we're similar to what Christians are to be with the world, right? Christians are in the world, but not of the world. Well, the Josephinum is in the Diocese of Columbus, but we're not of the Diocese of Columbus. At the same time, the largest sending diocese is Columbus. Some of our best supporters and active participants in our work are from Columbus. So it's a magnificent relationship, really. And then, of course, Bishop Brennan serves as our vice chancellor. The nuncio is the chancellor Bishop Brennan's our vice chancellor, and probably like everyone else has seen, he's very present and very active.
Now, there are two divisions in the Josephinum. There's a college and undergrad yep. division, college seminary, and then a grad or theologate seminary in the second half. What are their relationships, and how many students are up there now?
Yeah, so we have two houses, college and theology, almost evenly split. Right now, we have just under 80 seminarians. And so they're two separate houses, but we do a number of things in common. So there are two separate formation programs. College is a typical liberal arts college program. Theology, we have a pre-theology program for men who already have their college degrees but need the philosophy, and then theology. So we have two chapels, one for each house. And then we have a common chapel, St. Charybius, and we are in there on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. The other days of the week, we have masses in each of the chapels, as well as holy hours every day, too. So, and then we eat in the same refectory, and we do a lot of things in common, too.
Excellent. The formation is done mostly by priests, but there are lay as well on the staff there?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we talk about formation in the seminary according to four dimensions. So human, spiritual, academic, or intellectual, and pastoral. And the priests are primarily responsible for the human and spiritual formation. So we have formators, and we also have spiritual directors, and they take care of the human and spiritual. Now, a number of lay people, many more lay people, take care of the intellectual formation, obviously for college and theology, although priests are in the classroom as well. And then the pastoral, you know, that's where they go out into their assignments and throughout the Diocese of Columbus and work. So yeah, it's really a group effort.
Yeah. Now, these four, you talk about these four pillars of formation, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Human formation, how would you describe that to our listeners?
Human formation is what it means to be a person and to be a man. And we're working in all that. A lot of the virtues, the human virtues, very basic things. For us, I think helping the men understand what it means when they become priests to live a life of simplicity. Right? Diocesan priests, we don't take vows of poverty. We are still called to live simply. What it means to relate to people, to be able to talk to other people, to engage them on a human level. Health, right? So we might work with the guys, making sure they understand proper nutrition and exercise and really anything that has to do with the human person. That's human formation, yeah.
And is that done on a one-on-one basis? You know, like would there be a human formation director for each person, or is that done in a group setting where you would give instructions on how, you know?
Yeah, we do it both ways. So throughout the year, there are rectors conferences where we might give a talk on a presentation. Either I or one of the vice rectors would give a talk. And then there are groups. So every class has their own formator, and there's certain topics that they cover throughout the year. But then every man is assigned his own formator. And that is a priest that they meet with every 3 weeks or so to work, you know, to talk about all the areas of their formation. Now, that's what we call the external forum. So it's not spiritual direction. It's not confession. So what that means is they share things with us, but then that also is part of their formation. We can talk to the other formators about it. Not that it's public, but, you know, we can work as a team to make sure they're meeting their goals and taking care of things. And then on the other side, there's the internal forum, which is what every man also has a spiritual director who they meet with every 3 weeks. And that is sacrosanct. You know, the spiritual director cannot talk about anything outside of that. You know, they can't say a word about the seminarian at that point. So it really gives them a freedom in that way, but also we have this opportunity to work with them in the external forum.
Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I think, we had this Millennial Church Conference, and I was really glad to see that there were the fourth-year guys from the Theologate and from the college there. Father Lump was also there with us as well. A lot of the seminarians now are millennials, you mm-hmm. know. What kind of challenges, and also I would even flip it, and, you know, opportunities and, you know, strengths do you see in the seminarians nowadays?
Oh, yeah. We obviously it's things have changed. You know, I this year I'll celebrate my 25th anniversary of ordination, and I think back to 30 years ago when I entered the seminary. First of all, I had almost unanimous support. You know, family, friends, and that's not the case for a lot of seminarians. So I'm really impressed by the men. Really, they're exceptional. They're men of generosity. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. They're men of faith. You know, something brought them here. It's not the culture. It's not a culture that's going to foster a vocation. They come from a variety of families, some exceptional families, some families maybe who are struggling as well. So whatever has brought them here to the seminary, they're men of faith and men of generosity. At the same time, they're men of the culture, so they bear the wounds of our culture. And that's it's okay. We're not expecting perfection when a guy comes in. So we understand that, and we hope they understand that. But what a great opportunity, especially with the new evangelization. It's a new era. I like to distinguish between the modern and the postmodern, and most people over the age of 50 have been brought up in a modern world. Anybody under 40 is really postmodern, and there's a big difference. And I think that's part of the tension we see in the church sometimes. A lot of people are still thinking as moderns, and those are the people you'll see in the pews, but the young priests and seminarians are postmodern. So the language, the understanding of reality, much different. And so helping them to understand that and to bridge that gap in the early years of their priesthood, but understanding 10 or 15 years from now, we are a postmodern church, and helping them to be ready for that as well.
I loved what you said at the priest convocation so many months ago, back in the summer, about, because there is, you know, people, I think people see it not only in the laity, but also in the presbyterates, that there is a difference between older priests, pre-modern, you know, or modern priests versus these postmodern priests. And I really loved your explanation of that.
Yeah, it is different. And so we have to understand each group. And but there's a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Father Basso, can you just, is there a way to, in a nutshell, distinguish modern and postmodern? Mm. What are the markers that...
Yeah, now, as a professor, that you're asking something very difficult.
I don't need a whole semester course on it. Just a quick summary, if possible.
Yeah, so I think a number of assumptions are different. So I think a modern has a great trust in reason, a great trust in science, that things are always getting better. I think for many postmoderns, there's a more of a distrust in science. You know, think about the young people involved in the environment, and they think the world is facing some real ecological crisis, primarily because of science and technology. Well, that wasn't the case 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of confusion. We can't trust reason. We have to rely on our emotions or feelings. You know, they say that reality is chaos. We can put whatever language we want onto something, and that's how we control things. So, you know, the transgendered movement, that's really a part of that. It says, look, I'm a mess of whatever. I can self-identify as whatever. That's the postmodern, and that's the postmodern reality. Yeah. Just a glimpse.
Which you can really, if you ponder it, think about how different then that is in someone's priesthood.
And the people and the hang-ups of one group are quite different than the hang-ups of another group.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What are some advice that you would give our listeners to help encourage men to consider the priesthood? We heard in your vocation story in the first half how you were encouraged by your classmates in law school.
Mm-hmm.
What are ways that we might do the same?
You know, I think it depends on the person. I think if they're a priest listening, I think encourage them to provide as much adoration and exposition of the Blessed Sacrament as possible. So many people find their vocations by listening to the Lord, sitting before the Blessed Sacrament. That's powerful. Lay people praying before the Blessed Sacrament, entrusting to Mary these vocations. My vocation story is much deeper, but Mary is an essential part of it. It goes back years before that, but throughout this to make sure that Mary's a part of it. And then I think for parents, just creating a culture in the home where vocation is normal. That is not the biggest deal in the world, but it's nothing to be afraid of, you know? And so I think it's really, for me, and when I was at the University of Kansas, I was very blessed, and we were very blessed. We had, over that 10 years, we had almost 50 guys go to the seminary. And but I will say this, that the one question I never had to ask, have you ever thought about being a priest? Why? Because we created a culture. Hmm. If you want vocations, create the culture. Just like a tree bears fruit in the proper culture, vocations will bear fruit in vocations if you have the right culture.
One final question, I guess, is how can we, our listeners and all of those here in the Columbus Diocese, support the Josephinum in your work?
Well, I always ask people to pray for the Josephinum through the intercession of St. Joseph. He's a very powerful intercessor, and I've seen his intercessions work in ways that are there's things that are happening that don't have any human explanation. Obviously, like any seminary, it's always a challenge to keep things going. We do have tuition from the seminarians and dioceses, but that covers maybe 40% of the cost. So financially, we really rely on other people to allow us to keep this going and to keep it somewhat affordable. I think prayer and presence also. So
excellent. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you for joining us.
Father, we're going to take a little break, and then we like to wrap up the hour by talking about things that are coming up. And a couple of those things are things that are coming up at the Josephinum. Can you stick around with us? And
sure.
Okay. All right. So you're listening to the Friday Morning Show on St. Gabriel Radio with Katie and Father Adam. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to saracolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? I heard a priest talking about freedom. I thought, freedom means I could do whatever, whenever, with whomever. The rules don't apply to me. The priest asked, but if we desire to break the commandments, are we truly free? My desire was to skip Mass, and what if the church said it was wrong? But that day, I learned that true freedom rescues us from the desire to sin. The commandments are guideposts of love, designed to help us, not condemn us. We can be moved to the good by our will and by our heart. So I began choosing to go to Mass and asking Christ to change my heart. Christ didn't come to give us laws, but to invite us to conform our hearts to His. By doing so, living out the commandments becomes second nature. That's freedom. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more TOB Minutes, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We have been joined in the studio this morning with Father Stephen Bisseau, the rector at the Josephinum, and he agreed to stick around with us for our wrap-up because there are a couple of really cool things coming up at the Josephinum, so we wanted to get his take and insight on those. But first of all, before we get to that, Father Adam, you are starting a new fun little thing on St. Gabriel Radio.
Yes, there's a daily show Monday through Friday, a small little, you know, I think 15 minute segment each day on called Conversations on Discipleship, where I'll be speaking with someone from the diocese, a priest, religious, lay people, just on discipleship and various elements of discipleship, you know, and how to live as disciples.
That's great. And so we're all called to live as disciples.
We are.
So any one of our listeners could get a phone call from you asking for a conversation on
it
discipleship.
Might be, yeah.
Be ready.
I'm just flipping through the phone book. random people.
So, you know that thing we do when our phone rings and we don't recognize the number so we don't answer it? It might be Father Adam. Okay, so that'll start the week of February 10th. We don't know exactly what time yet, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But don't worry, listeners. We'll keep you informed. You will know when to be listening for that. Okay, tonight, Father Bissot, I'm going to Clergy Who Cook.
Fantastic.
Are
It'll
you
be
going
my
to
first
be
night,
there?
Too, as well.
Are you cooking?
No. I cook, but I wasn't invited.
You weren't invited?
No. I guess this is the 10th year, so they invited all the previous winners to come back.
Wait, do you have to be invited? I mean, you're the rector. Couldn't you just storm in your chef hat and apron and say, I'm cooking?
And that may happen. That may happen. But but it may happen.
What is this event? Tell us about it.
So it's an event put on by the Friends of the Josephinum, which is another group that people can join to help us. But it's a night where clergy prepare meals, and then you sample it, and then you get to vote on who has the best meal.
And you vote with dollars,
and you
right?
vote with dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So and then at the end of the night, it's all counted up, and then we announce a winner, and people go away full and happy.
But the priest who wins doesn't keep the money; it goes. To
he
the
usually
Josephine.
Goes back to the Josephine.
Yeah,
he can make that choice.
I think so.
Yeah. wisely.
I'm sure they all give it back.
I think they give it back.
Well, this is my first,
and Bishop Brennan will be there tonight as well.
And he's not cooking, right?
No, he's just eating, like me.
Now, I have heard of a few priests are up. So Father Mike Harchi from Perry County, who was on the show at one point.
He's cooking?
He's cooking, yeah. He told me it's... I think venison meatballs is what he's making.
Are you allowed to reveal what
I don't
he's
know
cooking?
If I am or
oh
not.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Are you going to be there, Father Adam?
I don't know for sure.
Because you love venison.
I do.
Yeah.
But I have a freezer full of it myself.
That's true.
It's very popular. I think they sell out in about 40 minutes when they open up for tickets.
It sells
just like that. It's extremely popular.
Okay, then the other thing coming up here in a couple of weeks is the seminarian basketball tournament.
Yes.
Tell us about that. You haven't been to that yet.
I was. I have been.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I played in it all 5 years of my seminary career.
I did not know that. You're a baller, as they say. Not to brag,
but my team won it 4 of those 5 years.
Whoa.
And I was very supportive of the players as I sat on the bench most of the game. But... No, we did. So I played in it for 5 years as a seminarian. That was my only experience with the Josephinum before I came here.
How about that?
It's a great tournament.
And there's a pep band.
There's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Smith, who is one of the seminarians on the seminary show, he leads the pep band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. We have, I think we have 10 teams this year, and it's an invitational. We're playing game after game after game. Of course, we have Mass and Holy Hour and everything else. But yeah, it's a great event. I'm looking forward to it.
But I think our guys dominate pretty much these days.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're pretty impressive.
Is it open to the public for people to come in and view, or is it just mainly the seminarians?
I think so. We don't sell tickets, so.
Yeah, it's open.
Is it open?
I just walk in and look at me. I'm a shady character.
Wow.
So yeah, they'll let anyone in.
We don't have bouncers.
Yeah.
That's right. The other big thing coming up, not at the Josephinum, but of course, we are talking about it all the time here on St. Gabriel Radio, are the Catholic men's and women's conferences. I should say women's and men's conferences. That's the order. The women's conference on February 15th and the men's conference the following weekend on the 22nd. I was telling Father Adam it was funny. In the Catholic Times this week, it has 7 pictures across the top of the speakers at the Catholic Women's Conference. But then the opening paragraph says 6 dynamic speakers.
Uh-oh.
So you get to pick which one is not dynamic. No, I'm kidding. Anna Mitchell was also pictured. She's the MC. So she wasn't counted as... No, they are all dynamic speakers. And I'm sure you can still register for both of those events. You can find them on the St. Gabriel website. And they are life-changing. They are wonderful there.
It's a wonderful opportunity to encounter Christ, both of those
Will you be at both of those events, Father Adam? Are you hearing confessions?
It's my plan, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So lots and lots of priests hearing confessions, wonderful speakers,
yes.
all the best stuff. So,
well, shall we end with a prayer?
We definitely shall.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We fly to thy patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin Mary. Amen. And for my co-host, Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus and FM 88.3 WSGR New Boston, Portsmouth.